doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
Good, Tom.
I'm Tupos.
Tupos? I see your sign here, and I'm kind of new to all this. And I just, quick question. I don't want to be on your video or anything like that.
No. I am making an audio. Is that okay?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I just had a quick question. If you can give me...
I appreciate it. I saw you waiting.
Yeah.
I had a whole bunch of men.
Yeah, I understand.
Look, can I explain something to you quickly? Doing as a street preacher, that's what I do full time. What happens is you get crowds of people coming, and I'm here to preach.
Yeah.
So I get these mockers come up, and they go, I want to talk to you. And I go, not now.
Not me.
Here's my card. Yeah. Here's my email. Call me. I told the men today, about 10 men said they wanted a piece of me. You're wrong. You're unbiblical. I said, wait until this is over or the crowds go in. I'll be standing right here and bring your Bible. Now, if they love me and I love them, what's more important? The carnal entertainment that's going on in there or us talking about the truth of God and glorifying God. So.
Give me, I was telling her, I'm new at this.
This is my wife's sister, Amy.
Okay. Give me a good reason why you think that this is wrong.
Yeah, so Jesus would rebuke the strong man conference, and here's why. Because Jesus went to the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. Who were they of his day? The religious leaders. Okay. So John Lindell from River City Church, or James River Church, and Craig Groeschel are the main guys. There was a couple other guys, but I focused on them because they're the most popular. And Jesus went to the Pharisees and said in Mark 7, you keep man-made traditions. You've invented a bunch of man-made traditions, and you worship God in vain because you've added man-made traditions. Mark 7.
Okay.
You know what? You can write all this down, but I tell you what. You go to my website. This is all on the testing. Okay. Look up the testing of this at don'tperish.com. It's right. It's on every page.
Okay. I'll check it
out.
Yeah,
here's our website. Don'tperish.com. Okay. Yeah. So Jesus said you must worship in spirit and truth. He rebuked every false way. He rebuked Christians claiming Christ when they walked in sin. So did John the Baptist. So did Paul. Now to the world, I go out in the world and I preach to the homeless people. Do you think I rebuke homeless people like I rebuke these false Christians? What do you think I do with homeless people?
I work with homeless as well.
I reach out to them. I'll fill a need. I don't give them cash. I'll offer them a chance off the street.
Yeah.
I give them the gospel, and then I lovingly tell them, if you're addicted to drugs, if you're living in the world, if you're not born again, you're headed for the wrath of God. I love you enough to tell you, you have to repent, be born again. So they get the same gospel message, but Christians get a rebuke because what they're doing is they're trampling Jesus' blood. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He shed his blood and he rose again, okay? And by that shed blood, you can repent and you can be made new and you can be transformed. And when you repent, you come out of all false ways. This is a false way. The American church system is false.
What makes it false?
And can I finish the gospel and then I'll get back to that? So by faith and repentance, you come out of all false ways. You come out of the world. When in Acts 5, God says, when I see a willing vessel, I send the Holy Spirit. Acts 5. You have to be willing to obey God before you even get the Holy Spirit. These people are screaming, jumping up and down, trying to get the Holy Spirit brings you calm and inner cheer. You see people inside there. We just preached at a Lecrae concert last night. He's a Christian rapper.
Okay.
We just preached outside his concert. I actually ran into him on the sidewalk. It was awesome. The Father always sets these things up for me. You know who Chris Tomlin is? Okay, he's another worldly, very popular Christian music artist, and I ran into him on the sidewalk.
Really?
God always sets it up
puts
for me.
It in your path.
Puts him in my path. Yeah. I loved him, but then I rebuked him. So the gospel, by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, you repent. When you get the Holy Spirit, you become a new creation. The fruit you have, the Holy Spirit, is not that you're all excited about carnal entertainment. They just had an Abrams tank in there.
I saw that last night.
And what were they doing? Crushing cars with it. Does that sound anything like the ministry that Jesus and Paul did?
No, but it's keeping a little bit of entertainment in it as well to keep you pumped up to go.
Which is flesh, and you can't worship God in the flesh. Romans 8:8, you must worship God in spirit. That's flesh and its carnality, Romans 8:8. Yet you can't worship God in the flesh. So the fruit that you're born of God, thank you for listening to the gospel, I appreciate it.
I appreciate
the fruit that you're born of God is holiness and obedience. Your heart desires. Have you ever been married? Okay. When you're married to somebody that you love and you're committed to, your heart is for them. You're faithful to them. You care for them. You look after them. You take care of them. What if I told you this is my wife, but I smack her around and I cheat with other women? Would you believe I love her?
No.
What about Christians that say they love God, but they live in the world and they live in sin and they trample his word? You think they love God?
I think they do.
Hold on. Do they love God biblically or in their own way? Biblically, you know what it means to love God? Obey him.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, you want to be a friend of God. In John 15:14, he said, keep my commandments. You are a friend of God. And Hebrews 5:9 says, Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. So obedience and faith always go together. I'm working my way through James verse by verse. I do verse by verse Bible study, and it's all over my website. And I've got thousands of teachings on there, all for free. I don't sell the things of God. So by that Holy Spirit, when you truly are transformed, your fruit is, your life is transformed to the Word of God. And you start following it. And the Holy Spirit teaches you all truth. And you begin to conform your life. And what you're doing that is sin, you stop doing it.
Yeah.
And what you do know is righteousness, you keep doing it. And then the last part of the gospel, you don't get salvation by raising your hand, saying a prayer, getting water dipped, and going to church and saying, I got eternal life, I can never lose it. Jesus is going to... It is a covenant. Is this a covenant, marriage? A covenant's an agreement of two parties. Can covenants be destroyed and end? They can't. Can two people divorce and separate? Does God's word tell you he'll put you away if you live in willful sin? Hebrews 10:26 says, if you live in willful sin, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit that you have, Jesus, is you reject this. You reject every false way. And so that's the gospel. By faith, repentance, you're born again, holiness and obedience, not living in any sin, and enduring in the faith. This place does not. Now, on paper, they'll say, yeah, we agree with that gospel. Here's what goes wrong. They don't have repentance because they haven't come out of the world. They've never lost their lives. Most of them don't have the fruit of truly being born again. When you're born again, I used to be a worldly drunk and a partier and go to rock concerts and hunt and fish and do everything I wanted to do. Does that sound like a godly person? I just described American churchianity to you. Most of them love God and do all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I don't agree with that part as far as doing stuff. They come to church on Sunday on a hangover.
Yep, amen. So you told me, you let me preach the gospel to you. So now why do I stand against this? So they don't preach that gospel that calls people out of the world. They invite people into the world. Football. They got a football star here. Football is covetous. Have you read the Ten Commandments? Trying to win over your neighbor. Does that sound godly? Football is violent. Men get legs and arms and spines and concussions and... Right? God hates violence.
Sports. I mean, living in the world.
Sports have no part in God's economy and God's theology.
I know, but you still. How is that wrong to play sports?
I just told you. It's covetous. It's immodest. It's violent. It's prideful. Ready? Let me give you this. Football players, their jerseys, tight clothes, throwing their bodies up. I used to be a bodybuilder, so I know all about this. Steroid arms, they're standing there.
You can still be saved and play sports, though.
Yep. Hold on. Those men all taking pictures of themselves, all dressed up, probably did makeup and everything for the pictures to look the greatest. Proverbs 6:17, you know what it says?
No.
Six things, no seven, that are an abomination to God. Talks about the murder of innocent blood.
Okay.
Proverbs 6:17. It talks about murdering and shedding innocent blood. It talks about a lying tongue. And you know what it says? It says a proud look is an abomination to God. So let me give you some hard truth because I love you. Anything you do in your life to lift you up, to make me look good. Man, this shirt makes me look good. I love this beard trim. I love this hairdo. This picture makes me look good. I'm lifting myself up. I got a job, man. I make money. My car makes me look successful. That's pride, and you're an abomination to God if you live that way. The Bible says the greatest man that ever lived, John the Baptist, per Jesus, greatest man that ever lived. Do you know what he said? I'm going to puff myself up and I'm going to lift myself up so I'm something and I can really be something. Did John say that? In John 3:30, he said, I must decrease so Christ can increase. So all these rock star men, okay, I call them rock star Christians, that they're making millions off of the gospel. Jesus made a whip for that in John 2 and drove people out of the temple selling the things of God. So I'm listening to what these things are wrong. They preach a gospel that doesn't call you out of the world. So their gospel's false. They sell the things of God. Big money, $180, $200 to get in here. Jesus would rebuke them for that. Okay? All right, so that's another one. So the gospel's wrong. They don't call you out of the world. They're worldly. They got football. They're selling the things of God. Feminization. Do you know what a godly woman is? I would offer you my wife, head covered, biblically dressed, quiet when men are talking. The Bible teaches that. And my wife knows the Bible as well as I do, but she will never interrupt men. Why is that? It's God's order. God has an order. God, Christ, man, woman, children. Doesn't mean she's less important. She isn't less important. She's equal. But there's an order. When the police show up, who has authority?
them?
Are they more important than us in God's economy? No. Is the chief more important than those cops? And then is the governor more important than him? And the president? So they're all valuable to God, but there's an order. So feminization, there's another one. I don't know how many more you want. False gospel.
Oh, no, I just...
Selling the things of God, worldliness, feminization. Now let me give you another one. So James River Church, John Lindell, directly linked to the NAR. Do you know what the NAR is? New Apostolic Reformation. It's a new cult movement in Christianity. They believe
NAR.
It's on my website. Okay, yeah, it's all cool. On my website. Yeah, I got all this on my website. If you go on there and you want to email me and Bible study, I'd love to Bible study with you. I'd love to help you.
I will.
We don't charge anything. I just said they sell the things of God. Everything I do is free. I retired early, sold everything we owned. We had a beautiful homestead in central Missouri, paid off, could have sat there in the rest of my retirement and sat there, hunted and fished until I was dead. We sold everything, and I'm boasting in Christ here because he called me to do it. I'm nothing without him. We sold it to fund ourselves. We live in our camper van, and we travel the country, and this is what we do. We go in the streets. We deal with the homeless. I tell people I deal with the homeless to the guy in the million-dollar motorhome, to the rich, famous celebrities, everybody in between, and we preach the gospel. And so this place is not going to produce holy, godly saints. So you test what you're saying about, well, you can play sports and be saved. If you're a biblical Christian playing sports, if you repented and you're born again, it won't be long. You'll be testing the scriptures and go, this is sinful. Covetous, trying to win, lifting myself up.
Said, if you show me in the scripture, I'm really new to this.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm learning.
Do you consider yourself born again?
I do.
When? Since when?
I couldn't tell you the
okay.
date.
Okay, that's fine. No,
probably
that's awesome.
Probably a year. I don't have
yeah.
a date.
You don't need a
know,
date. See,
yeah.
that's another thing.
I
the Holy
know.
Spirit, Jesus said he's like the wind. Can you
yep.
see the wind? Can you control the wind? Yeah. I don't have a date. My wife knows real close about when she was born again. She knows when the light turned on. Mine is like a 2 or 3 month period.
Yeah, mine is roughly a year.
Yeah, yeah. So what's going to happen is God's going to ask you to lose your life if you haven't already. Everything. How you act, who you associate with, what you do, how you dress. We'll go there. I need to go there. So I talked about head coverings and biblical dress. That's all biblical for women. We have teachings on all this. In Genesis 3, now I don't teach Torah. Torah law was what was given to the nation of Israel.
Okay.
I teach some pre-Torah laws for us. I teach the Ten Commandments as the moral law. We'll go back to that. And then I teach the New Testament. Okay. So the pre-Torah that I teach is before God gave all of his rules to Israel, before they were ever a nation, he said, one man and one woman for marriage, right? And they've corrupted that now. He
yes.
said, man, take dominion over the earth. So what that means is if I'm out walking on a trail with my wife and a mountain lion attacks us, I don't be like the tree huggers and go, well, I can't kill the mountain lion because he's an endangered species. What do I do with the mountain lion?
I
kill it to take care of my wife or child or anyone else. Take dominion of the earth. Don't abuse it, but take dominion. So marriage, dominion. In Genesis 3, this is beautiful. I love to teach this. In Genesis 3, God, Adam and Eve sinned. How many sins did it take Adam and Eve to get put out of the garden? You should look at your life. I should look at my life. My wife, one sin. Look at all the sins here. So we're going to get there. So Adam and Eve put aprons on. Aprons are, if you had an apron on and no other clothes, would you feel clothed? No, they cover the front or empty in the back. Aprons don't cover you. God himself kills animals, Genesis 3:21, and covers man. You know what that's an archetype of? You ever hunt?
No.
Okay, if you hunt, you shoot a deer, what happens to it? Bleeds out. God killed animals and shed their blood. What's that an archetype of? Jesus coming
Jesus,
to
yeah.
shed the blood. We talked about in the gospel. So God sheds blood and covers us in a tunic-like garment. I believe that's what this is a representation of. My wife wears a long dress because the Bible teaches women to wear long dress. The Bible says a woman's leg should be shown. That's what nobody teaches this anymore. 100 years ago, women covered their heads and wore dresses. Feminism came along. And look at what has happened. Homosexuality, divorce, abortion is all rooted in feminization. And where was the first feminization? In the Bible. Very good.
Guessing.
Very good.
Okay.
Satan went to Eve. Didn't go to Adam, did he?
Yeah.
He went to Eve. And Paul said the woman was in a transgression. Adam was wrong too. He's responsible. He's wrong too. So God sheds blood to cover us in a tunic-like garment so that we're covered because we're sinful. And if you'll notice, so-called Christianity, they show their bodies off. They do. They show their hair off. They show their body off. I've seen a whole bunch of guys here. I used to be a bodybuilder. Weightlifting, covered with tattoos.
showing themselves off in skin tight shirts.
Does that sound like a proud look to you?
For them, maybe, but...
That's an abomination to God. So, we have to dress the way God ordained us to dress. So, that's another pre-Torah thing. In Acts, I think it's not... No, excuse me. Genesis 9, God said to Noah, long before Torah, don't drink blood. You know why we don't drink blood? Life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. The Bible says that. That the life, you know, if I cut your arm and main artery, you got about 2 minutes to live. Your blood poured out, you're dead. So the life is in the blood physically. And God was separating and holding that blood special for what reason?
Jesus.
Yeah, and go a little deeper. What did Jesus give us as the new covenant?
His life.
Right. And then part of that was what? The Lord's Supper. Right? His blood and his body. So God was saving that blood for special archetype. An archetype is something you see in the Old Testament that shows up in the New Testament. Like Noah built a wooden ark, but you know who's our spiritual ark today that saves us? Jesus. So there's all types of archetypes. That clothing is an archetype to the New Testament. Killing lambs, shedding their blood. Archetype of Jesus. So these are all beautiful archetypes. So God clothed us, don't drink blood, husband and wife, take dominion. Now we get to the moral law, the Ten Commandments. We teach you keep the Ten Commandments. Nine of the Ten Commandments is echoed in the New Testament. There's one that is not directly echoed for Gentiles. Do you know which one it is? The Sabbath. And the Sabbath was Friday night to Saturday night that the Jews kept. And that's another archetype. It was a period of rest. Guess who we're resting in today? Jesus. Hebrews 4 says we're resting in Christ. So people ask me, do you keep Sabbath? Because we don't look like American Christians. I go, I do keep Sabbath, but yes and no. And they go, yes and no. I said, I keep the Sabbath resting in Jesus every day. I don't keep Friday night to Saturday. That is gone away with in the Old Testament. Paul said in Hebrews, the new has come. It's a better covenant. The old has passed away. What do you think Jesus meant when he was on the stake? Many people call it a cross, but it really was a stake because it was a tree that he died on. And the Bible says anyone that dies on a tree is accursed. And Jesus was accursed for us so that we could be made right with God. What do you think he meant when he said, it is finished, it's fulfilled? What do you think he meant?
Our sins.
Yeah. He ultimately, you're right. Ultimately, we couldn't live up to that Torah law. And Jesus fulfilled it perfectly. And he said, I fulfilled and became the sacrifice that the Father required. And so he completed it for us. But that doesn't mean we can live in sin, does it?
No.
That means we have the ability now, because of Christ, I don't teach work salvation. We have the ability, as I preach that gospel to you, to now leave our sin. And by the Spirit and by the Word of God, we can walk in righteousness. There's a terrible doctrine out there called filthy rags. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay. The evangelicals teach in Isaiah, it says, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. And they love to use that verse to say, they'll tell you, modern pastors will tell you, you can't be righteous. You're going to sin all the time. You're going to be like the world. Don't even try. Jesus is all your righteousness. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches he made the way for you. But guess what? When there's a way, and there's a narrow way, and there's a roadway, and there's a path, what do you have to do?
Follow that path.
You have to follow that path. You got to walk on it in holiness. You can't sit there and go, Jesus did it all for me. No, Jesus says, did Jesus say, sit there and do nothing?
Follow me.
He said, follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You're not hearing Jesus' voice at this false place, okay? You're following carnal Christianity. So we keep the moral law, the Ten Commandments, we're resting in Jesus, and then we keep the new covenant. And here's an amazing thing. They'll never teach you this, the modern pastors. You know how many commandments there are in the New Testament, roughly? Commandments to keep in the New Testament.
I have no idea.
1,050.
Wow.
And that's commandments like love each other,
yeah,
rebuke each other, exhort each other.
Jesus gave new commandments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we keep. They're not keeping that. What they're keeping is, this is, all of this is churchianity. Sunday is not the Lord's Day. That's handed down
Saturday,
by the...
Saturday, right?
Well, Saturday was the Lord's day. Now we're resting in Christ every day. Every day is the Lord's now.
Every day.
The day of the Lord that John talked about in Revelation 1 is when Christ returns. Not the Lord's day. They call Sunday. So here, quickly, can I give you some reasons why the Sunday church system is wrong?
I've done a little look on that, yeah.
Sunday's not the Lord's day. Yeah. Christmas, Easter, and Good Friday. Can you go to the Bible and find that anywhere where we should do that every year? Paul never did it every year. Peter never did it every year. Let me give some facts to you. We don't even know when Jesus was born, as you know. It never said to keep celebrating it. And Paul says to lift up his death, not his birth, in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go to Easter, Resurrection Sunday, some of them call it. Easter, Eshtar, it's a pagan name, right? Okay. And they say Good Friday he died and he rose on Sunday, right? That's what they say. That's what the evangelical.
Sunday, I don't know.
Yep, that's what the evangelical world teaches, that he died on Friday and he rose on Sunday.
It's the third day.
Yep.
But it doesn't say Sunday.
Very good.
As far as I know.
So Jesus said, do you think Jesus is a liar?
No.
Could he lie once and still be our Messiah?
Nope.
Very good. Jesus said, I'll be in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. How many hours is that?
72.
Can you get
my mind's kind of focusing on other.
Can you get 72 hours from Friday night death to a Sunday morning resurrection? It's a lie. Handed down by the Roman Catholics, and they all keep it. They all keep it. And they say it doesn't matter. And I go, it doesn't matter that Jesus was a liar?
Wow.
They walk away. I've got articles on all of this on my teaching blog. All of this, everything I've said to you, I've got articles. I back up. And I just made a video. All these men said, oh, I want to talk to you. You're wrong. Oh, I'll open the Bible. I said, when everybody is done passing by, I'll be waiting right out here. Do you see anybody?
No.
You see anybody? I don't see anybody. That happens all the time, sir. Because they run. John 3:19-21 was one of my favorite verses. Jesus said, the light has come. He's the light. And he said, those who love the light come in the light. I see that you have appreciation for God's truth and you're standing listening. But men love their sin and they go in the darkness. When I show up at religious places outside, you've seen me preaching peaceful.
Yeah.
Lift up my voice about the only thing I do. Peaceful preaching. When I do that, they call the police on me almost every time.
God said.
Public sidewalk.
They're gonna hate you.
Public sidewalk. I don't go inside. I don't bother their carnality. They call the police on me. I get to witness to the police, and then they're angry because the police didn't run me off. They're like, hey, he's peaceful. He's perfectly fine. For right now in America, we have this right. One day, I almost got arrested the other day by a lording over police officer that tried to shut down my First Amendment rights on a public sidewalk, and I didn't push it any further, and they were almost going to arrest me and citation me, and then I complained to the chief and said, you need to control that, and I got an email from their lawyer saying, he shouldn't have done that. You weren't breaking the law. You didn't need a permit. So, but those are all the reasons, okay? And they're not, the church system is not going to teach you that. You can't be of the world and sports and politics. James 4:4 says, to be a friend of the world. What that means is to be involved in the world, meaning you're with them, you're united with them, you're partaking with them. I get it. We all walk through the world. You got to dress yourself, you got to sleep, you got to have a job, you drive a car. Nothing sinful about that. But if you take your car to buy porn, your car is now sinful. Yeah. If you take your car to run into a crowd of people, you're now sinful. So the car is innate, everything's innate, but we put everything under the lordship of Christ and test everything. And what you'll find is we have to come out of the world. So people say to me, well, you're in the world. And I said, well, I'm in it, but I'm not of it. And they go, what do you mean? And I said, I'm standing here against this today. You're going with it. See the difference? And Jesus and Paul would do the same thing. They would stand against it. They went to the marketplaces. The word preach. And let me encourage you, as you study, look at Greek and Hebrew words. Have you ever done that?
No.
Okay. If you email me, I can show you free, you can go and get it, an app to go on your phone, and then you look at a Bible verse and you hold on the word and it clicks up the Greek or the Hebrew and it gives you the deep meaning of the word. So I can show you how to do that.
It's changed so much over the years.
Well,
I noticed translations.
Stick with a good English Bible like the King James, New King James, that's a good Bible, and then look at the Greek and look at the Hebrew. And so if we look at the Greek and we look at the Hebrew, I'll give you a good example. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, few are going to find eternal life. Do you know how few that is? Does few sound like a small number to you?
Yes.
Let me take it smaller. It means puny in English. Puny. A puny number of those thousands of men in there are going to find eternal life per Jesus. And here's the, I have two articles on this called Few. It's one of my favorite articles I did. 8 get off the ark. They said there could have been 500 million people alive back then. 8. 3 come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Out of tens of thousands, it was a major trading city. This one always blows my mind. How many men go into the Holy Land, which is a symbol of like going into the kingdom of God, heaven, out of 600,000 men? The Bible says 600,000 men. How many men go go into the Holy Land? Do you know?
Two.
Joshua and Caleb. All the other men were rebellious, stiff-necked, sinful. God said, you're all going to die off. I am not letting you go in. He brings two in. And I like to teach people this. Take that percentage, 600,000 to two.
It's scary.
Take 330 million Americans. Ready? You know what that same number would be?
100 people.
1,200. 1,200 people. Now, I'm not saying that's how many will go to heaven. I'm giving you, that's the few that Jesus would say. Yet all these places are saying, oh, no, we're all going to go. No. No, in fact, Jesus is against these people more than he's against the drug addict in the gutter. There's a parable in the Bible about the religious guy. And he looks at the tax collector.
I just read that.
And he says, Lord, I thank God I'm not, thank you, I'm not like him. I tithe and I go to church, and he's probably walking around in his fine robes and pride and vanity like all these people. And he says, I'm glad I'm not like him. And the guy in the gutter goes, beats his breast and goes, I know I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. Jesus said, he'll be justified before you, religious person. And that's what these people do. They oppose the people that come and stand for righteousness, holiness, and truth, to trade it for carnality and sin. And this is what's going to be really hard for you. I know. God's told me this already because of my experience and dealing with people. What's going to be really hard for you is losing your entire life. Your flesh and Satan and your friends and your family or whatever you have is going to tell you, oh, hold on. Don't go that far. You're not going to have any friends. You won't be able to associate.
I've lost family and friends already.
Keep going. Keep going, and I'm telling you, conform your entire life to the scriptures. Let me just say something to you lovingly. You don't know this probably. The Bible says women are to cover their heads. The Bible tells men their head should be uncovered. So I used to wear a baseball hat because I was a farmer and I was always out in the sun and I'm bald. And I would wear my hat and I'd tell my wife, I'll take it off when I'm preaching, when I'm witnessing, when I'm praying. Guess what I'd always forget to do? Take it off. So I got rid of it. I don't need it. And God gave me grace. My head got tan. I get skin cancer and I die. It's on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go not a day earlier, not a day later than God tells me.
Yep.
Nobody can come kill me till God says it's time. No cancer is going to kill me till the Lord says it's time.
Yep.
I may suffer. Yeah. Smoking. If you smoke and you ruin your lungs, you may suffer a lot. Emphysema. I can't breathe. You're not going to die one day or earlier or later than what God has ordained for you. So all these influences in your life, the culture, they're going to say, oh, those people, legalists. They're going to call us legalists. Do you drive a car? Do the police expect you to keep the laws? Are they legalists?
Yeah.
It's good to be a legalist. If you owned a company and you told your workers, hey, do good by me, I'll pay you, I'll give you benefits, would you want them obeying all your laws or stealing from you on the side? So they call it legalism. What legalism is biblically, ready, is if I add some man-made doctrine to your salvation that the Bible doesn't teach. So what if I told you, you got to wear hiking shoes like mine to enter the kingdom of God? That would be legalism. The Pharisees did that. They told people they had to wash their hands and pots and cups. And think about this. Jesus said, for the washing of pots and cups, you make the worship of God in vain in Mark 7. Just that tradition. These Pharisees, do you understand something? These Pharisees were the most moral and most religious and most biblical people on the face of the earth. But they had one problem. What was their problem?
That.
Hypocrisy. Jesus said it in Luke 12:1. The sin, the leaven of the Pharisees is their heart. Their heart was hard against Jesus and against the truth. But they were the most moral people on the earth. And Jesus shows up and calls them hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. About 8 or 9 times, I think it's 7 or 8 times in Matthew 23. And here's why he did that. Because they had a great need. They needed to humble their hearts to the truth of God. And they needed to turn and be made new. And that's what is the problem here. Now, you hear all the instrumental fleshly music in there. Let me offer this to you. You saw instruments in the Old Testament. They weren't electric guitars, synthesizers, drums, and all stuff like that. All these people like to say, oh, they used instruments in the Old Testament. Okay? They don't use the instruments of the Old Testament, the harp. Okay? In the New Testament, they never used instruments. Now, one place where you see instruments used, why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
Because we became the instrument. And when you hear music, driving beats, violins, guitars, synthesizers, what does it do? Does it move your flesh? It moves your... I used to do that. I used to be a worldly man at concerts and all that stuff. It moves your flesh. But when people sing a cappella, just with their lips to God, what does it move?
Your heart.
Your spirit.
Help me up.
And this is all emotional, fleshly. Satan has entered into the church systems. He's created them, and he has all this emotional, fleshly music. You ever notice? Well, I don't know how much you know about this. Like when they give altar calls, which are false anyway. Come up front and accept Jesus. You won't find one Bible verse that tells you to accept Jesus. You know what the Bible says? This is what Satan does. He does the opposite of God. He has taught them to say, accept Jesus. Okay, Jesus, I know you went to the stake for me. They call it the cross, and you died for me. I'll accept you in my life. Like we're throwing Jesus a scrap. You know what the Bible says? We're accepted by God because of what Jesus did. You see the difference? And so this idea of accepting Jesus is a lie. You repent, you turn, you follow him, you conform your life to his word, his ways. He says lose your life in Matthew 10. Unless you lose every area of your life, how you act, talk, dress, live, who you associate with, how you spend your money, you're going to lose your soul. You know how I can prove that? Go read the story of the rich young ruler. Have you ever read that?
No.
A rich young ruler came to Jesus. Jesus, being God, knows everything. Know the future, know the past. He says, how do I inherit eternal life, Master? And Jesus said, keep the law. And for him, it was Torah law. And he says, I've done that. Jesus, knowing his heart, Jesus didn't say, liar, hypocrite, you're full of sin, you're full of false ways. Jesus said, one thing you lack. Jesus looked right in his heart. We could see his heart, see his thoughts. One thing you lack. Did we not determine one sin will keep you out of the kingdom? He said, sell your stuff that you have. Come follow me. Give to the poor. Come follow me. No, thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it, but we're fine. Thank you. Appreciate that. Take a gospel card if you would. That'd be more important than coffee. But thank you. Jesus said, one thing you lack. Sell everything. Come follow me. And it says the rich young ruler, sad.
He didn't do it, right?
He loved his stuff. One sin kept him out. I love that. Jesus says, one thing you lack. So examine your life. Find out what one thing you may lack, okay? One thing I may lack, and then we have to turn and we have to repent of it. And that's the fruit that your whole life is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I told you I was working through James. Go read James 2. You hear this in the evangelical world, ready? You hear this all the time. You're saved by faith alone and grace alone. Can you find one Bible verse that says that?
By the grace of God, we're saved.
What's that?
By the grace of God.
Yes. So what you're saved by, that's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 there. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, or 8, 9. They quote that. They say you're saved by grace alone, faith alone. That's a Martin Luther evangelical doctrine. Martin Luther was a murderous man who believed in killing Jews. He said, drown the Jews. That's how you baptize them. Adolf Hitler used Martin Luther's writings to start World War II and kill all those Jews. And these people all lift up Martin Luther as an evangelical. John Calvin killed his enemies, burned them alive at the stake. If I burned my neighbor alive at the stake because he disagreed with me, would you call me a godly man?
No.
They call him a godly man. Evangelicals do. You see how twisted they are? You see how corrupt they are? So, faith alone, grace alone, you won't find it anywhere in the Bible. Go read James 2. James says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Show you my works, I'll show you my faith. And he says, by your works, your faith is justified. It went right here where we talked about that. If you think I love my wife and you see me smacking her around or cheating on her, you're going to go, he's a liar. He doesn't love his wife. So if we say we love God, but we're not scouring the scriptures to obey and everything we do, we're liars. And Jesus calls that lip service Christianity, and he hates it. When you just say you love God, but you don't strive with your whole life to obey him. That's just lip service Christianity. Yeah. And that's what this is. This is lip service Christianity. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not telling you there isn't anybody here that's not born again.
Yeah, I hear you.
There could be some people that are born again, and they're just going to this going, Jesus, right? Because people get born again. They go to a church. Jesus, right? Well, guess what? If you start reading the scriptures and studying and say, God, give me wisdom. And you look at the church and you go, wait a minute. This is what we found. Everything the church was doing, the Bible said don't do. Being worldly, preaching false gospels, selling things of God, feminization. And everything the Bible said to do, they weren't doing. It took us a very short time when we were born again to go, this isn't right. We got out of there, became Bereans. In Acts 17, the Bereans, that's why we call people Bereans. In Acts 17, the Bereans, you know what they did? These men, if John Lindell, that heretic, and Craig Groeschel, that heretic, came out here and I started testing them to the Word of God, they'd call me legalist, critical, mean-spirited. Do you know what the Bereans did to Apostle Paul? Tested him to the Scriptures. And they were called noble because they tested him to the Scriptures. Do you think Apostle Paul has a lot better credentials than me, John Lindell, and Greg Groeschel?
Yeah.
Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, you're going to be my chosen vessel. And Paul knew the truth of God. Paul said, I've been given the mysteries. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, I've been given the commandments of God. And yet Paul was ready to sit and be tested by the Bereans. These men, they won't be tested. I've emailed my testings to them, and any one of them can give me an answer, and I'll put it on the testing and I'll answer it. They won't. They'll hide in the John 3:19-21 darkness because they can't bring the Word of God. They can't, because it's against them. It's against them. This whole system is a fleshly, false gospel, carnal, worldly. And again, let's go here. Bill Johnson, the NAR, I started talking about, the New Apostolic Reformation. This is a cult movement that came out of the Word of Faith movement. James Rivers Church, John Lindell, brings in Bill Johnson and Randy Clark to teach at his church. These are men that taught you lay on a grave and suck power out of a grave. If you read the Bible, that's called necromancy. God says it's an abomination to him. These same men, it's right on my testing of James River Church. If you saw me doing this, tell me what you think. Man, it's the anointing of God. People are looking at me already, I'm crazy. Randy Clark talks about Bill Johnson's testimony that he was hoping that God wouldn't give him the jerks so that he would be a stigma and be laughed at by people. Satan has infiltrated the NAR. Slain in the Spirit, have you ever seen this? Where people pray, hold hands on people, and they fall out in the power, they say, of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's Satan. On my website, I've got articles and videos. Do you know who else uses that? You won't find that anywhere in the Bible in the New Testament. Nowhere. Nowhere is anybody knocked out by the power of the Holy Spirit. All you'll find is when an angel showed up or when Jesus showed up, what did men do? They got on their face. They were like, oh, not me. I'm not worthy. They weren't knocked out by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's reverence. If a king or something walked up, you give a king reverence, okay? If the president of the United States walked up, I would give him respect and honor, okay? I wouldn't worship him, but I'd give him respect and honor. The Hindus do that. They touch the nirvana in your head and they believe the serpent spirit, it's called, is in your spine, and people fall out by the power. That's what Bill Johnson is into. That's what Randy Clark is into. And this James Rivers Church, John Lindell, brings them in his church, promotes it. I have a picture on my website. Bill Johnson and Randy Clark, when there was racism, remember the murders that went on and the racism in America a couple years ago? These, you know what they did? I don't even watch this. I used to watch TV all the time before I was a Christian. When I was a pagan, I watched it. They took a Gandalfo stick from, what is it, Lord of the Rings? An occult, mystical movie. They took a Gandalfo stick and they all held it and they did an incantation to break racism. That's Bill Johnson, who this guy links to. So the Bible says in Romans 16:17, mark those who cause division. People say I'm divisive. I am. And I'll explain to you why. Mark those who cause division, who have left sound doctrine, and avoid them. I say they've all left sound doctrine. They're keeping paganism, feminism, false gospels. I've avoided them. I've marked them. I won't link to them. When you link to false teachers and promote them, you're partaking in their sin.
Yeah.
So you go to a church system and you see that they're selling the things of God, they have a false gospel of their world, they're practicing feminization, and you sing and you pray with them, you're partaking with them. You don't go to those places. And I can promise you this, ready? I've been doing this for years. And there's a bunch of men right here listening. If anybody wants to offer up a biblical church, one that's fully biblical, that's come out of the world, that preaches the biblical gospel, that doesn't practice feminization, that doesn't sell the things of God. If anybody wants to offer that church up right now, we can test it right now. You're not going to find one in a building. Because the few of God's people, the few of God's people don't go to these church systems built of men. The building system God did away with, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And this money taking and the false gospels. And so people all the time say to me, oh, you should go to a biblical church. And I just look at them and go, name one. Guess how many they give me? They won't even give me theirs because they know I'm going to test it. I go, you guys, what's the gospel? They don't know the gospel. Do you keep pagan holidays? Yeah. Do you have feminization there? Well, yeah, you know, young men admit to me, when I go to church, I got to look at the ground, otherwise I'll lust at the women the way they dress. They tell me all the time.
It's sad to see that.
And the pastors allow it. Do you know why? I get passionate about this, about the truth of God. The pastors allow it. You know why? Because if they started teaching the truth, they'd empty out the building. They'd empty them out. And the few would be left and they'd say, well, we don't need this building anymore. Let's just meet in homes like they did in the New Testament. They just met in homes. 80%, last time I checked, 80% of the budgets of the New Testament, of the churchianity systems today, you know what 80% of their budgets goes for?
Paying staff.
Salaries and buildings. Do you know what all the money went for in the New Testament body? Widows, orphans, going out preaching the gospel. Biblical gospel. So they throw a little 10% here for making church system somewhere, and then they build their big. This is James River. You ever seen their church? Their church is as big as this place. 19,000 people. Millions of dollars. Somebody said they have like $650 million in surplus, like a university. Craig Groeschel's church. Craig Groeschel's worth $5 million, is what the internet says. Lecrae, the worldly Christian rapper, is worth $5 million, selling the things of God. The internet says Craig Groeschel's church is worth $450 million. Selling the things of God.
I can't believe you're out here doing this.
Yeah? Telling the truth?
No,
absolutely.
I've seen people set free from drugs, from a lifestyle